Join me in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And as you can see, I have moved beyond chapters 5 and 6. Not to belittle the words there, but I wanted to move to chapter 7. And chapter 5 is the continued story of the Philistines after they had captured the Ark of the Covenant, that most special of symbolic images that the people of Israel had of God's presence with them. And last week we spoke of that ark being captured by the Philistines. And because of that, it was not good for the Philistines. In chapter 5, we see God had brought disease and death among the Philistines. In chapter 5, we read, after they had brought it around the ark, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing a very great panic, and he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out among them. Go back and read chapter 5. It's not one of the prettier chapters in all of text. And so the Philistines, given all the trouble that God had brought them, sought to return the ark to the people of Israel. And so they sent messengers to the Israelites. Please, come get this ark, basically. Because it had caused so much death and trouble and trial among the Philistines. And so the Israelites did regain the ark, but things were still not very good. And so here at the beginning of chapter 7, we read verses 1 and 2. The men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord from the day the ark was lodged at Kiriath Jearim. A long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Yes, the ark is back. But the Israelites had traveled so far, spiritually, away from God, that even though his presence was now among them in the form of that ark, they still were in anguish and lament. And so now join me in verse 3 of chapter 7 as we move into the work Samuel has before him. Verse 3, and Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart and put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, and the Lord of the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines, and the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. And the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion. And they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Chen, and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron to Gath to Israel, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel Gilgal and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. The first thing I would like for you to notice about this text is the stark contrast in the two battle scenes that we've had now between Israel and the Philistines. Back in chapter 4, of which we covered last week, please note, or I'll remind you, that Israel went out to battle against the Philistines, and the battle was not done in accordance with the commands of God. There was no preparation by the priests. There was no prayer. There was no confession and repentance of sin. They stormed out in their own ambition. And only after they began to be defeated did they bring the ark into play, which was, as I said last week, only a token gesture. But here in chapter 7, please notice the stark difference after Samuel or with Samuel's involvement. There is prayer, verse 5. There is confession in verse 6. There is continued prayer in verse 8. And then there is worship, as we see in verse 9. In all, there is obedience to the commands of God, even as they were going out into battle. The Israelites were given strict instructions about how to face their enemy. And because of this obedience, the Lord defeated the Philistines on their behalf. And then Samuel followed all of this up with honor and recognition to the Lord in worship. In verse 12, we see that he took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called it Ebenezer. He slaughtered a lamb. He gave worship because of what God has done. Sometimes in Old Testament stories, as David and I was talking about before, it's challenging for some to glean the message from these somewhat elongated stories. But here, please let me assist you and myself to say there is a very simple, simple message here within chapter 7 of 1 Samuel. Simple obedience and worship. This is what we see in chapter 7. Obedience and worship. Here the Israelites follow exactly God's commands for battle. Exactly what they were given in the book of Deuteronomy to do as they were facing their enemies, and they followed it to the letter. And they gave the Lord God honor and recognition as they worshiped him after the conclusion or in the conclusion of that battle. In verse 12, as I've entitled the sermon, it said, "Till now God, the Lord, has helped us." Folks, again, an incredibly simple message. Obedience and worship. It is the Christian life. Obedience to the commands of God. Worship the Lord God only. Obedience and worship. And we see it time and again. In 1 Kings chapter 6, God tells his people, "If you live by my laws, follow my rules, and keep my commands, I will fulfill the promise I've made to you." Jesus himself said, "If you love me, keep my commands." A simple message. Yet why is it so challenging? And why is it so hard to fulfill? Obedience to what God has given us. Worship the God who has given us these commands. This is what our Lord expects from his people. And he desires to bless us in that obedience. Let's look a little bit deeper here into what we have before Samuel. This is a great time. This is a time of great transition for the Israelites. Please remember, they're moving out of the time of the judges and into the time of being brought into solidarity as a nation. They are moving from this diverse band of tribes that each did according to their own will into a united nation. They're moving from a group of people who worshiped almost anything into a people who are worshiping God singularly. Samuel now is being brought to the forefront of leading his people. He is the prophet priest type that is leading his people. And what does he do? He first calls them to put away their foreign gods. Look with me at verse 3. And notice the condition. If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away foreign gods and the Ashtaroth among you, from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only. There can be no division about a heart that worships the Lord God. We are told time and again, love the Lord God with all of your heart. Here Samuel is foreshadowing Jesus' own words. If you are returning to the Lord, then do it with all your heart. Samuel says, put away the idols. Put away the foreign gods. Put away those things that distract you. Put away those things that you have put up in place of God. And idolatry was one of Israel's greatest sins. From Moses to Joshua to the judges, idolatry, time and time again. Idols were a part of their life. For them, the idols were made of wood and stone, some metal. But as I said, almost anything. But today, our idols are much more subtle. If I were to bring a golden calf and set it on this table and say, we are worshiping, then you would immediately run me out of here, which you should do. But how often in our lives do we subtly worship things in place of God? Houses, land, wealth, cars, our jobs, our position, the recognition we get from doing certain things, our ambition, our families, our children. Yes, our children are a gift from God, and they are to be cared for and loved always. But be careful when the child becomes the center of the household. It's idolatry. Just as Samuel says, to put away those idols. And we will say, this is why our idols are so subtle. Because we will say with our mouths that we honor the Lord God. But yet, our actions would sometimes tell a different story. You see, our words will sound good here. But the actions of our lives portray the idols of our heart. And we need to look strongly within. What has moved into that center place in my home? What has moved into that center place in my life? Is it Jesus Christ? Each of us has a response. Samuel first calls them to do away with the idols. He said, if you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put them away. There can be no division among a heart serving God. Secondly, Samuel calls them to confess their sin. If there is unconfessed sin in our lives, then we do not stand right before God. And if we do not stand right before God, then how can and will God stand before us? Just as I said last week, that sin in our lives can become that barrier, can become that thing that distances us. Yes, we're sinners. Every one of us in the room. But are we those sinners who every day, on every occasion, come to the Lord and confess? You see, confession displays humility and submission. It removes arrogance and self-reliance. I know that I am a sinner, and without the loving power of God, I know I will not succeed. Through confession, a person admits their state before a holy God. Submission, humility, reverence. And see, this is where God wants you. This is where God wanted the people of Israel as they were going out into battle. Not boldly going out in their own name, but in humility going out in submission to God understanding He is the one who fights the battle for us. Thirdly, Samuel leads them in prayer. As I've pointed out, and each of you know, the vital place prayer has in our lives. It's apropos, and no, it's not. It's the Holy Spirit's timing. Tony's class next week. If God knows, why pray? Because prayer brings us into line. Prayer brings us into concert with our Lord God. Prayer brings us, furthers that intimate relationship that He desires with us. And see, this is where, again, God wanted the people of Israel before they went out in battle. This is where the Lord God wants us before we go out those doors into our lives, into that submissive, humble place of complete reliance on God, and we do that through prayer. In prayer, we acknowledge God to be exactly that, and then we bring our petitions, our thanksgivings to Him. Only one who in humility, honoring something greater than himself, would do that. And that's exactly where the Lord God wants the people of Israel. That's where the Lord God wants us. Prayer. Persistent prayer. Remember Samuel's name? Saul, Samael, asked and heard of God. Samuel's name means prayer. Samuel here is leading the people in prayer. We should change our names to Samuel. Fourthly, the Israelites were called to honor God for the victory. See, again, here is the simplicity of the Christian life. Simplicity in words. Simplicity, obedience to the commands, obedience to the teaching. And then we move into a place of worship. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer. The stone monument, the stone of help. This was a constant reminder of God's providential care in their lives. Anytime they saw the stone, they remembered. Anytime they saw the stone, they remembered what God did. We need to remember. Jesus Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What was He talking about? Everything of His life. Everything of your life that God interchanges and works. How many of you have told your children of all the things God has done for you in your life? How many of you have told your grandchildren about the things that God has done in your life and you've seen God working? Get them used to hearing that kind of language. This is what I saw God do today. Did you see how God acted there? Remember. Remember what God has done. Many of you, if not every one of you in this room, have gone through battles and trials and heartaches, and God has brought you through it. And you're quick to give Him praise. Tell that story. Tell that story and remember what God has done. Samuel set up a rock. But every time they passed that rock, they knew, they remembered what God had done. Folks, again, the story, Samuel leading the Israelites, well, I will say finally following the Lord, but it doesn't last long. But here they are giving themselves to the Lord. They are obedient. They worship. The Lord God defeats the enemy for them. Again, an incredibly simple lesson. And it's the same for us. Obedience. Obedience. What God has given us in this holy word, He desires us to follow. And through the power of the Spirit, we can be obedient. And when we falter, we confess and repent. And Holy Spirit, come and lead us on. And just as it says here in verse 12, the Lord has helped us. The Lord has helped us. The Lord has made the same promise to you that He would help you through your times. He will help you through your times. Turn with me to Psalm 46, please. Psalm 46. If I'm not mistaken, this is the psalm that Martin Luther used as inspiration for his wonderful hymn, A Mighty Fortress. But look at this psalm. For those of us who are Christians and we call out to God, this is a wonderful statement of truth. It contains promises, but it shows that God is fighting, has fought and will fight the enemies of his people. Just as he did the Philistines for his people of Israel, he will for you, the people of this church. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. That is a military term. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord helps us. It is a promise made to everyone who calls on his name. He desires obedience. He desires worship. But please know, wherever we are, whatever battle we face, whatever opportunities before us, whatever challenge might come, never, ever forget, the Lord of hosts is with me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this promise that we see in the story of Samuel and the Israelites, as you defeated their enemy before them. You desire obedience, and you respond with favor. You desire worship, and you respond with the adoration of your heart, I think, and pour out blessings upon the people. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to the commands, obedient to the teachings of the Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and give us the strength that we know is not of our own making. That only from your hand and by your hand and through your hand our enemies might fall. The challenges be overcome. The trials not overwhelm us. The opportunities for growth be ever present. Help us in these things, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.